Ask the Credit Cowboy about your credit needs.
Hi, y'all. Steve Altoni and the Credit Cowboy from Credit Loss Solutions. Do you have questions about your credit and how it may be preventing you from purchasing your dream home? Ask the Credit Cowboy. Offer a free consultation where we'll go over where your credit currently is and how we can help you improve your credit so you can get into your dream home today. Call the Credit Cowboy at 818-932-9531.
AskTheCreditCowboy.com.
This is Debbie Marcoux, the Mortgage Mom. Have you been wanting to buy a home and you just don't know where to start? Well, you know what? I have a podcast and I have a YouTube channel. What are you doing? Go to the YouTube channel and watch all of my workshops that I already have out. Those are Homebuyer Workshops 101 through 106 and 201 through 203. They're all there. They are ready for you. They are to teach you how to buy a home. But you know what else? I've got the podcast. Many of you like to listen to podcasts these days. Check it out. Everywhere you want to find me, it's MortgageMomRadio.com. All of the education, tools, and advice that you could need, all at the tip of your fingers. That's Mortgage Mom Radio. You have questions? Text me. Text the word MOM to 474747.
Debbie Marcoux is licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, California NMLS ID 237926. Also licensed in Texas and Tennessee, 184373, Arizona 094-1504, and Nevada 57237.
Do you own your home? Have you considered what could happen to your home if something happened to you and your family had to go through the dreaded probate process? Hello, I am the estate planning mom and my name is Krista Hermance. I am an estate planning attorney at Hermance Law. If you own your home and something happened to you, depending on how title is held, your family may have to go through probate court. Probate in California can take an average of 12 months to 2 years to complete. It is very expensive and public. A will, while it states how you want your stuff distributed, doesn't actually avoid probate. It just guarantees it. If you want to avoid probate, a trust might be your best option, and we can help you figure that out. We have offices in Ventura, Westlake Village, Santa Clarita, and work with clients virtually throughout California. For information, text WILL to 474747. Again, text WILL to 474747.
This attorney advertising is intended for general information only and not intended to be legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. Attorneys at Hermance Law are licensed to practice law in California only. You should seek advice from a legal professional licensed in your state. Hermance Law is located in Ventura, California, and can be reached at 805-518-9633.
All right, well, welcome back to Mortgage Mom Radio. I'm Debbie Marcoux, and this morning we are going to be talking with Krista Hermance. I'm going to get her on the phone here in just a second, but she's going to be talking to us all about trust. She is a trust attorney here in California, and she's going to talk about what's important for you and your family and, you know, why you should have a trust and why it is so important, especially when you do have minor children. So, you know, Heidi, I know that you have a family trust.
So I will confess, I do have a family trust. And don't do what I've done. I did have one done, and my husband and I have not had it notarized.
Oh. You know, we have people that do that.
I know. And it's awful. So I've had it now for months and have not had it notarized. And my father is a trust attorney, right? So we know he had it done. And he calls me constantly. Have you had it done? I need to have it recorded. And he has other stuff that he needs to add to it, my will and everything on the back end of it. But I have not done it. So I need to do that.
Okay. So that's going to be on my to-do list. It's always Heidi, actually. She calls herself my handler. And she's constantly, you know, making sure that I'm getting things done that I need to get done. And if you don't have a Heidi, then it's very difficult to make things happen. But I'm going to actually be your handler this time. And I'm going to make sure that we get that notarized because we have people. Like yes, this is what we do for a living.
I'm so very good at making sure everyone else takes care of what they need to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's taking care of my stuff that sometimes falls behind.
Yeah. And it's hard. It is hard because we are busy and we are constantly doing things and we're always here at the office and we're always working. And it is really hard to get sometimes to your own personal things. So yes. I'm going to actually ride you. I'm going to ride your butt on this one and make sure that we get that done for you.
I appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. So everybody listening, we're going to get Krista Hermance on the phone. So hold on 1 second. All right. So we have Krista Hermance. Good morning, Krista.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah. Doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Are you ready for these holidays?
You know, I actually got an early start this year. Surprisingly, I beat Target to putting up my Christmas stuff. So I was pretty excited about that, actually.
You know what? I'm right on the same page, and Heidi is shaking her head right now. You've got, Heidi's on the phone with me. Say good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Krista. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I am not quite as prepared as you guys are for the holidays, so I'm cringing right now.
Yeah, my husband actually had back surgery about almost a month ago now, and so there is just no way he can actually get up and put the lights on the house. And my oldest son, Manny, who's 18, actually offered to put them up. So my lights are up, my tree is done, my mantle's finished, and now it's just kind of like the extra little things that, you know, as they come in, you know, I'm ordering them off of Amazon, but as they come in, I'm putting them out, and I'm ready. I'm ready to go. So kind of exciting.
Now,
I haven't started Christmas shopping, but at least that piece is finished. And it's really important to be finished, which is why I've got you on the show to talk to all of our listeners. We've had you on before. I've actually rerun the interview that you did with me, you know, back 3-4 months ago. And, you know, I just think that it is so, so important for people to be prepared for their family with their trust. And I don't think that a lot of people understand. I get a lot of clients that do call me and say that they have a will, and, you know, they think that because they have a will that they're covered. So, you know, I love having you on, and I really want you, you know, to kind of talk about some important pieces that you feel people need to know about the differences of a trust and a will and not having anything at all. You know, so if there's a important something on your mind, because that is something that needs to be finished, just like our, you know, decorations, you know, please tell us.
Yeah. So I think exactly what you just said about when you hear from people and they say, oh, I have a will, I'm good. I think that is probably one of the biggest misconceptions I hear about estate planning from people, is that they think because they have a will that that's all they need. And that's just so far from the truth. So in the state of California, all a will does is guarantee that your family is going to have to go through probate at your passing. It doesn't prevent probate. And a lot of people think that that's what a will actually does. And that's just not the case. All a will actually says is how you want your stuff distributed to your heirs at your passing. Now, if you don't have a will, so with no plan in place, California actually has a law that basically says how your stuff is distributed to your heirs. One of the other things that a lot of people don't understand about probate is that it's a very long process. So any family that has to go through it, and there's probably a lot of listeners that have family that have passed away that where they are actually having to go through the probate process. It can take anywhere from, you know, 12 months to 2 years to complete. And during that time, the money that is in somebody's estate can generally, you can't access it. So if a family needs that money, they can't necessarily access it because it's going through the probate process.
So, and I'm happy that you know, brought that up, because one of the things that comes to mind, and I promised my listeners at the beginning of the show that I was going to talk to you a little bit more personal about me, because I think that sometimes hearing a certain situation can kind of bring things to light a little bit easier. But in my situation, I was married before, had 2 children, divorced. Now I'm remarried, and you know, I have my current husband, and we had a baby together. So I have 3 children from 2 different spouses. And, you know, if I didn't have a trust in place that was saying where I wanted things to go, what would California say? What would happen when I pass? Would my kids from a previous marriage get anything at all? Would it all go to my current husband? You know, how would that work?
Yeah, so it really depends on the situation, and I'll kind of give a general overview of when there's a blended family. So without any plan in place, if you do have a spouse and you have children, either from that spouse or from another spouse, different percentages would go to your spouse and would go to the children. The issue there is the probate process, right? And so the percentages that California would give to your spouse and your children might not be how you would actually want your estate distributed. You might want everything going to your husband to use right now, and then at his passing to be distributed to your children equally, right? Where if you have no plan, you have no say, and it's whatever California law is depending on those percentages. But if you had a trust, which is, you know, I think which would be a really great tool for you, just kind of going off of some of the stuff that you've told me, is a trust would allow you to say, well, I want my husband to be able to use all of my stuff during his lifetime. And then at my passing, I want it to be distributed equally between all of my children, not just my children from my new marriage, but my children, all of my children equally. Whereas if you know, there are different types of trust depending on what you want to do. But some people, I've heard a lot of issues where they had no plan in place, and then there was a remarriage, and then that step parent never gave the child any of their parents' inheritance, right? It happens so often where by not having a plan in place, children can actually not get what is what their parent would want for them because there was no plan in place.
So, yeah, no, that makes total sense. And that's why, you know, I know it gets a little bit more personal for the listeners to hear my story, but that's why I kind of feel like it's something that there's a lot of, you know, blended families out there. There are a lot of people that have mm-hmm. been divorced and then remarried, and there are a ton of, you know, families with step parents and step children. And, you know, you want to make sure that everybody is getting what you want them to get. You don't want, you know, arguments that the family arguments that can come up from, you know, future or past during that whole probate process can get really nasty and ugly. And it seems to me like a trust would kind of stop all of that. Right.
Exactly. And for you, because you do have, I know of at least one minor child that you have, mm-hmm. Having a trust set up would make sure that any of that money that child receive wouldn't have to go through the probate process for them to then receive when they turn 18 years old. Whereas when you have a trust set up, especially with minor kids, which is what we really focus on, making sure that parents have plans in place to protect those kids, is by having a trust set up, you can say, well, I would want my child privately to receive money at maybe 25, 30, and 35, rather than everything going through the probate court for them to receive it at 18 years old, when it's probably not the best time for them to receive any type of inheritance that's going to be of some value.
Now, one of the questions that I actually got from a listener after listening to our previous interview was, what if I don't have somebody that I trust to be the trustee?
Yeah, that comes up quite a lot, especially with the clients that I have, and just making sure that, because the person that you're going to choose is what's called a successor trustee. You want to make sure that they're trustworthy, right? Because they're going to be managing all of the finances. So you need to know without a doubt that you're giving them all of this authority, that they're going to actually follow your wishes. So if you don't have somebody, you can actually designate what's called a professional fiduciary. So it's someone who has a job, and I work with a lot of these, where it is their job, they are licensed and bonded to essentially manage the trust for your child or your children to whatever wishes you have within your trust. So there are options out there.
Now, is that something that becomes very, very expensive to have, you know, a professional doing that piece?
So it depends on the situation. And oftentimes you wouldn't actually pay any money until something actually happened. So you would just name them as a professional fiduciary in your trust documentation. And then only if something were to happen to you and they needed to step in and actually manage the money, it depends on what was going on. You know, is it them managing the money for a child where they're receiving money on a quarterly basis? Well, then they're going to get paid hourly for that. Isn't it potentially worth it to have somebody that you know is legally obligated to do the right thing and have this license and bonding, rather than have somebody that could essentially just go take all the money out and keep it for themselves?
Oh, no. I mean,
there is a little bit to play with there.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. So one of the other things that comes to mind when I'm thinking about, you know, a family trust is, you know, there are a lot of clients that we have where only one spouse will actually go on the mortgage and the other spouse will not go on the mortgage. So in that situation, someone passes away, and there's a mortgage that's out there that needs to be paid. Maybe they're both on title. Maybe they both own the home. But how exactly do they get the bank to talk to them if they needed to call that mortgage company?
Well, if they're on the deed by themselves, when it gets put into the trust, and that's the biggest thing. And a lot of people, you know, that's the second part of having a trust, is making sure the trust is funded, making sure your house and your deed is funded in the name of your trust. And if something were to happen, the trust has a what's called successor trustee, and it's generally listed in the title, or my successor trustees in interest, so that the bank then has to talk to them because they are listed as the trustee.
So if they don't have that trust, though, then it makes it very difficult for any communication to happen with that mortgage company, correct?
Absolutely. And then a lot of times they'll require that probate be started to be able to have a personal representative that's been assigned by the court that they are then allowed to talk to.
And do you have any idea, like, let's talk about bank accounts. You know, if someone, let's say that I have a bank account that's all mine and my husband's not on that bank account, so it's not a joint account. If it's not part of that trust, what happens to that bank account? It just sits there. Can they get in and, you know, will the bank allow them with a copy of my, you know, death certificate? Will they allow them to go in there and do anything with that bank account at all?
Unfortunately, it really depends on the bank. I have seen it where somebody can go in with a death certificate if they are a beneficiary of that person. But some banks do require that a personal representative be assigned by the court and have that certificate saying that they're the personal representative that allows them to then go into the bank. So it's hard to determine until it actually happens, but there's ways to prevent that from potentially happening by making sure that there were plans in place.
And if that account was held in that trust, then that would not be an issue.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So let's talk about California too. You know, there's a good amount of people in California that are self-employed. We are definitely the land of the self-employed person. And, you know, let's say that there is a business that is owned, you know, let's say I own my business 100% and it's me and my name. What happens mm-hmm. to the business? What happens to business funds? Can all of that be somehow incorporated into a trust?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do what's called an assignment of business interest, where you would essentially just assign your rights into the name of the trust. So that way, if something did happen to you, then the successor trustee would be able to manage the business, whether it be closing it out or continuing it and paying bills, depending on the type of business that it was.
And let's just say that it was not part of that trust. What happens to the business at that point at someone's passing?
Well, depending on the value, it would likely have to go through probate court for, again, the court to assign a personal representative to manage it. And it's that whole probate process where it's very long, it's very expensive, and it's completely public.
So, you know, in that situation too, then I've got, you know, employees that are, you know, that I'm paying, that they're working at a business. You know, what happens to those employees?
If it's going through the court system,
Yeah. Does everything just kind of keep going? Like, you know, do they even have a job to go to? I mean, how, you know what I mean? I'm trying to kind of wrap my head around what would happen in that situation.
Well, it really depends on who has access to be able to pay employees. Like, if you're the only one who's making payments to employees and there's nobody else that can get into it, then they would need to file a petition with the court to be able to make things go a little bit faster, to be able to do that. And there are extenuating circumstances that the court will look at to see if, you know, what's going on with this specific business and try and allow certain things for that to happen. I mean, the biggest thing is you don't want it to get to that point, knowing that you can put plans in place to be able to prevent that type of thing from happening.
Yeah, no, it definitely, and that's, again, I wanted to get a little bit more personal with my scenario and my situation so that, you know, it was something that the listeners that are listening can understand the depth in which a trust can help. I've mentioned it earlier in the show that even if you don't own a home, that a trust is still very, very important, regardless of, you know, maybe what your assets are. And I know that you've said that before. So let's just say that, you know, my son is 18 years old, just turned 18, and he doesn't really have very much of anything. Is that someone that you would still say, hey, you really need a trust? Or at what point in time do you feel that it's important to get that trust set up?
So, not knowing a lot of details about your son, does he own a home or anything?
Nope.
Okay. And does he have any kids?
Nope. Nothing.
Okay.
You know, so, and that's why I'm trying to kind of establish for the listener, like, at what point in time is it really important to start thinking about getting this plan in place?
Okay. So I'll just say kind of generally, anybody, if they have minor children and or own a home, I recommend having a trust generally. You know, it's specific to each person, but in general, because that way it allows whatever the circumstances are going on with the children or the home, it allows you to be in control of how you would want that distributed upon your passing, making things easier for your family. And I will say for your son, and generally anybody that turns 18 years old, and a lot of times people don't understand this, is that when you have a child that reaches the age of being an adult, which in California is 18, the parent actually loses all ability to make financial and healthcare decisions for their child. So I absolutely recommend it for parents when they have a child that turns 18, have that child complete a power of attorney, have them complete an advanced healthcare directive, so that if something were to happen, you would be able to make decisions on behalf of your child, whether it be financially or from a healthcare perspective, because without that, even though you're the parent, you have no legal authority to make those decisions. You would have to go to court to get like a conservatorship over that child to be able to make those decisions. And doctors and hospitals wouldn't give you any information without having that signed documentation.
Well, we definitely need to talk then, since my son, my son has a heart condition. He's had two open heart surgeries. It's something that we will definitely battle for the rest of his life. And, you know, that is something that does worry me all of the time, is that, you know, I am the one, you know, it's funny how parents are, I'm paying for college, I'm paying for his medical insurance, I'm paying for his, you know, co-pays. But yet if I went into a hospital and he was having a hard time, they wouldn't give me information. So I think me and you definitely need to talk off air. Anybody that's out there listening, I would have never even thought that. It's not something that crosses your mind that, you know, that's something that you have to worry about. You just always think, I'm the parent, they're not married, they're, you know, I'm going to be the next go-to that the, you know, doctors or hospitals are going to, you know, give information to. And so, you know, that's something I think everybody needs to think about. I mean, that is really a big, big deal.
Yeah, it really is. And I have a lot of free resources on my website. I actually did one this year that was for parents preparing for their kids to go off to college, like just like things that you don't think about in the moment when you're, you know, you're going and shopping for everything for their new room. Like, it's just all of the paperwork. I actually just had a conversation with somebody this past weekend where their kid was injured and they were in a different state and they could do nothing. They couldn't get any information from the doctors. They couldn't get any information from the hospitals. They had no idea what was going on. And so it's really making sure that whatever, if it's out of state, making sure that you have the right paperwork for that state so that if something happened, you would be able to get that information that you would want immediately.
Wow. So. Yeah. Everybody listening, you guys got to call Krista for real. like this is, you know, this is very serious stuff, you know, I mean, and you are, you know, probate is really horrible. If anybody's been through it, I'm sure that, you know, you have the stories to talk about and to think about the amount of money that was lost and, you know, the time and, you know, even properties being lost because payments can't be made. I have one more thing that I do want you to touch on. Again, you know, personal scenario for me, but I think again, it helps the listener to, you know, some of them might be in my same situation, so I think it helps. But, you know, my youngest son, who is only 3.5, is autistic. And if, you know, he does not talk at this point in time, we don't know if he'll ever talk. We're hoping, and we're doing all of the, you know, necessary things. But, you know, I would need to make sure that if something was to happen to me, that he's going to continue to get the resources that he needs. And, you know, he has so much that going on. You know, he's got preschool in the morning that is special ed, and then he's got speech therapy in the middle of the day, and then he's got ABA therapy in, you know, the afternoons. And so I need to make sure that, you know, his insurance stays good. My husband does not work. And honestly, it's because there's just absolutely no way that he could, with all of the running that we do and the amount of additional care that, you know, my son Zeke needs. You know, how is there anything special that can be put into place for a child that does have special needs?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of the process that we go through in the trust planning and design stage is really just going through kind of those details of things that are important and things that you want to make sure of. And so one of the things when you have a child that, you know, maybe receiving government benefits, and that's, you want to make sure that if something happened to you, just because that child were to get money, you wouldn't want them to stop receiving those government benefits, right? You would want them to continue to get all of those resources and doctors and preschool and all those things that they're still getting. You would want them to continue to get that. So it would be setting up the trust in a way that would prevent them from having those benefits taken away from them. And we can do that. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that is so great. Now, one thing that you did mention to me before, Krista, was that you guys did just open up a new location.
Yes, we are so excited. We just opened up a new location in Santa Clarita. so super close to you.
Yes.
And we are seeing clients there, myself, estate planning mom, and then our newest addition to our practice is estate planning dad. So he is there and we are excited to have him as part of our team.
Oh, I love that. Well, we have the mortgage dad. We have Larry. We should really call him mortgage grandpa because he's definitely the oldest in the office. But it's good. You know, people love to hear mom, and it's always, you know, this strong female presence. So it's always nice mm-hmm. when there's a man that's been, you know, initiated into the team. So that's very, very mm-hmm. cool. It's so nice to hear that yeah. you're actually, because you're also in Ventura, right?
Yeah, so our main headquarters is in Ventura. We also have an office in Westlake Village. And then, I mean, honestly, through listeners that we meet through your show, a lot of times we do appointments virtually throughout the state of California with some of the people that come from your show.
That's awesome. I love that. So, yeah. Krista, what is the best way for them to get a hold of you? I know you guys have a website. You said you've got a ton of free information there.
Yeah, so you can just go to estateplanningmom.com. We have free resources there, printables. There's also lots of information, YouTube videos and all of that stuff, all linked in our website. You can always text WILL to 474747 or just call us at 805-518-9633.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Krista, and for all of the listeners out there. I really hope that this was beneficial to you. Krista is amazing. Everyone that has called me and said that they've worked with Krista from hearing the show has absolutely been 100% satisfied. You are not by any means extremely expensive. I think that your costs from when we've talked in the past have been really, really great. Do you have any like specials or packages, or how exactly does that work?
So if they come as a referral from you, I just need to know that they're coming from you and they get $100 off a trust package.
Nice. I love that. Perfect. Yeah. All right, Krista, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it. Anybody listening, you guys have questions for Krista. Krista, give them that telephone number one more time.
Sure, it's 805-518-9633.
You guys can always reach out to me, and I'd be happy to put you in touch with her. Go to her website, estateplanningmom.com. And thank you again so much, Krista, for your time this morning. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that.
No problem. You have a good one, okay?
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.